Captain Talent Radio.
Good evening, everyone. My absolute privilege and pleasure to be here with you with one Tuesday away from Christmas Eve. We're a couple weeks away, and it's going to be Christmas. What an awesome situation. Happy holidays to everyone, one of my favorite times of the year. I have the distinction of, I arranged my year this year so I could finish in New York and California. So my last two events of the year, this Saturday is in Rye, New York, a place I've spoken once. I usually host this event on Long Island, but due to the holiday situation, I was not able to book two of my favorite hotels. So I will be in Rye this Saturday. So that'll be a one-day event from 9 until 4. So that'll be an awesome event. I will be wrapping up the year in Marina Del Rey, and that will be with Brittany Caro, will be sharing the stage with me. That will be Saturday, December 30th. I just finished Breakthroughs to Success number 119, and what a fabulous event that was. Breakthroughs to Success number 120 will be in February. Then the Protégé Writer Speakers Workshop, the companion course that I host with Breakthroughs to Success, will be in the spring, the first weekend of May. And that will be unequivocally the best event I've ever hosted. The lineup for speakers I have are G. Edward Griffin, Brittany Caro, who will be a guest on this call, and many, many others. 1 week from tonight, I have Pam Barnum on the line. I will be interviewing Pam with her new book on a legal perspective for network marketing. Pam and her exceptional husband, Kevin, were my clients 6 years ago, so having Pam on this call will be fantastic. I do have a version, I have the hardback version of that book, and I must say it is a fantastic book, and she'll let you know how you can receive your copy. I'll be launching 2018 in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, with Lisa Pazanza. January 13th, I'll be in Dallas, Texas. January 20th will be my first trip to Spartanburg, South Carolina, in a couple of years with Bridget Bartley. I will be in Orange County, California, February 10th. Orlando 24th, I will be in Orlando. And I will be in Saddlebrook, New Jersey with Diane Hunt, hosting her first More Heart Than Talent event. That will be Saturday, March 3rd. So those are a few of the events where I will be in the next couple months. I also did book Baltimore, Maryland this week. That will be March 10th. So I just added that to the roster. I'll be adding January 27th and February 3rd very soon. And as we move into the new year, a lot of exciting situations happening for the GMS marketing team. We'll have a new product out called the Breakthrough Factor. We'll have a new version of More Hearts and Talent available, the book itself, and then continuing new content and products to add to our sales funnel. Chris Shar will be certified by Infusionsoft, so when you come to my events, he'll be able to take his internet marketing skills with you to the next level. I'll be sending Chris to Phoenix for 5 days in the very near future to take our internet marketing. But we'll also be able to teach these skills at our upcoming events to you, our clients, and you'll be able to receive some of that content for free at our Breakthroughs to Success event and our Protégé Writer Speakers events. If you've not taken advantage of a free 15-minute coaching call, or you have a teammate or someone in your circle of influence that you know deserves that type of content, refer them to me or have them send me their phone number, and I will reach out to them immediately. So looking forward to a great year, 2018, closing 2017. This Saturday, I'm going to be delivering some great content on the science of attraction. If you're anywhere near New Jersey, New York, I'll be taking that content really to the next level so you can understand cause and effect. And if you have a leveraged business in 2018 and you are seeking to break through, it's imperative that you understand why you do what you do. But most importantly, there's a real skill to attracting. It's not luck, and it's a science. It's not only you developing people, but you being able to attract to reality the people and situations that really will foster the belief you're developing, the purpose you're creating, and most importantly, the people that you can collaborate with. With that, we're going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. Now, if you're on tonight's call, I'm going to cover content that will assist you with the science of attraction. Tonight's topic is called body language and the ability to read people. It's very important that you understand how to read energy, body language, the unspoken word, what is meant along with said, and be able to read why people do what they do. Now, human beings are predictable, and the more that you understand people's predictability, the better you will be at being able to adapt and adjust. So to be in that space, to be able to read people, you have to get beyond some of your anxieties. Some of the anxieties that will inhibit and hinder you will be your anxiety about your fear of judging people. Being able to effectively read people does not mean that you are judging them. It means that you live in a no state, a K-N-O-W, through repetition and experience, a series of books that you will read, a series of content that you begin to understand. The more you understand the four personality types, the 16 personality types, Myers-Briggs type indicators. I also have an 8-CD audio called Personalities for Success, The Animal Factor. I produced that content 15 years ago in 2002, and that content still today stands alone. I originally started learning the personality types when I was 13 years old with my mother, who is a Myers-Briggs type indicator facilitator, gave me my first test. I tested out as an ESTJ. And there's another book called Please Understand Me by Kiersey and Bates. There's Personality Plus by the great Florence Littauer, who that book has been handed down through the Amway organizations for 40 years. That's one of the best books on personalities. And then my own personal favorite of my own, Personalities for Success, The Animal Factor. That will allow you to understand personalities. But more importantly, you want to start to understand body language. Have you ever seen someone who broods and pouts? The lip comes up, or their bottom lip comes over their top lip. Their body language drops. Have you ever encountered someone who's hostile and unapproachable, and you could tell how angry they are? Did you grow up with anyone that would put you in a position you had to validate, justify, and explain yourself? Do you know what the difference between someone who's passive-aggressive and someone who's aggressive and someone who's passive? I mean, you want to be able to understand why people do what they do. And the more skilled you are at the best product, the product that you want to master is people. The more you understand human beings are predictable and their predictability, the more power you will be in. As you begin to let go of your own force, you will no longer be the counterforce to someone else's control. As you start to understand that power stands alone and requires no outside force, then you will learn to be empowered or in your power. Now, when you're in that type of body language, you're in a very relaxed presence. You're here and you're now. You're not trying, T-R-Y-N-G, to force anything. You are in a very relaxed emotional state called conscious awareness. And when you are consciously aware, you're transmuting your energy at a very high level of emotion, and an emotional state that's very conducive to attracting other like-minded success seekers. As you begin to live in an unshakable belief, you'll attract other people who believe what you believe. When you live in a no state, a K-N-O-W, it means you know, then there's no gap and a delay in your communication style. When you trust, and you trust self, trust God, trust others, trust the universe, trust whatever you trust, and when you live in that kind of trust, then there's no separation between you and the outcome. On a high level of frequency, the very situation that you seek to attract shows up. But when you have anxiety and you're overwhelmed and you live in anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, overwhelmed feelings, grief, and apathy, well, that kind of energy will attract your reality, people who believe your low self-esteem. You'll attract people who will violate you, people who will judge you, people who put you in a position to feel the way you feel so you can justify your existence and say, this always happens to me. Now, when you begin to let go of the cause that creates the effect and you learn to be and stay present, now you can begin to read why people do what they do. You'll have a better understanding through repetition of experience, how to watch people's eye iris. When you ask someone a question, and you ask a yes-no question, have you ever considered starting your own business, and the person answers with the sound followed by a well, you know you're going to receive a story. When you ask someone a question and they cross their leg, and they don't even know they're doing it, and they bring their arms in, you know that they're in an overwhelmed state. They don't even know this, kind of body language means they're shut off, they're cut off. When you see, when you're communicating with someone and they turn their body away from you, you can tell that that happened in events in their past called unresolved issues. And the more you understand why people do what they do, you begin to have the advantage. Now, in my hand, I have a book that I purchased about 20 years ago. You can Google this company. They're called Lakin & Associates, L-A-K-I-N. This is a workbook published by the great Dwayne Lakin, Ph.D. It's called The Unfair Advantage, Practical Applications of NLP for Sales and Marketing, The Unfair Advantage. It is a workbook. Now, this is the first workbook that I ever started to understand the eye iris. Now, your eye iris means how your eyes move. I've had the privilege of coaching professional poker players before and having the opportunity to interview them. I've had several of my clients who are very skilled at counting cards. One of the most fascinating clients I ever coached was a professional poker player. He would play 7 days a week. He had a stake that he would use, $2,500 a day. He would never lose more than $2,500. And he had a stop point when he would quit. He had a system, and he made a living doing it. And this is why poker players will wear sunglasses, they will wear hats, so their eyes don't give away their moves. Also, when you're reading body language and you're reading people, you want to look for a term called a tell. A tell is a telegraph. This will show up in sports, it'll show up in business, it'll show up in human behavior, it'll show up when you are reading people. There's a book called, there's a movie produced by the great David Mamet with Lindsay, David Mamet, who's a playwright, and has also produced many on-Broadway plays and several movies, but he produced a movie called House of Games. It has Joe Mantegna in it, and Lindsay Krause plays the female role. It's a great movie on a sting and how these three men create a sting. However, they get double-crossed by the lead woman, Lindsay Krause, and it covers the term tells. If you're gambling with someone and they continue to play with their ring and then make a move, that would be a tell, meaning they're telegraphing a feeling. Well, because human beings are predictable, and if you're living in the present, you live in awareness, and you're not anxious about a situation that hasn't happened, then you're gonna be in a position where you will learn to effectively read the situation. You'll read the man. You'll read the woman. You'll read what's going on. You'll be able to tell. You'll be able to tell by the way you listen, the way you hear. You'll understand what's meant. You'll be able to tell by people's eye iris. You'll be able to tell when people cross their leg when you ask them a question. You'll hear people say to start a sentence when you ask a yes-no question. You'll be able to tell when someone's telling you a story not related to the question you ask. When you start to master your emotions, then you can master these skills. But when you are checked out, I'll say it again for effect, checked out. When you are checked out, you're going to miss moves. You're going to miss eye iris movements. You're going to miss sounds. You're going to miss situations so you can be and stay disappointed. You'll attract your reality, the people and situations, to fulfill your feelings. As you are learning how to let go of anxieties, you're able to separate yourself from the events that shape them. As you start to live in aha moments, as you begin to break through, as you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape your feelings, as you attend Breakthroughs to Success once or twice, a protege writer speaker's workshop, as you begin to read the book by David Hawkins, Letting Go, you start to understand what power versus force means. You start to understand the content in the great book, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. You start to read the book by Dr. Joe Dispenza, The Placebo Effect, or his book, Change the Brain, The Biology of Belief by Bruce Lipton. As you start to understand content by the great Dr. John DeMartini, The Breakthrough Factor. As you start to understand mind-body connections by Louise Hay. As you begin to apply, as you live in the application and the integration of the content you read. What many people do is they read content. They study content, but they don't apply it. They don't put it into practical application. And the application of being able to read people will show up in sports. This is why quarterbacks, great quarterbacks, will watch film over and over of their opponents. When you start to understand the inner game of selling and you start to master selling and understand that your business will rise and fall and your ability to ask questions in a sequence, your ability to read a prospect, your ability to close a sale, your ability to set up a sale, your ability to be in your body, as you're no longer crying, making up stories, as you're not overwhelmed about making mistakes, as you're able to start to separate yourself from the critical, passive-aggressive perpetrators who you grew up with. I had the privilege of coaching one of my young clients tonight who unequivocally broke down a series of events that set her up to be where she is. Now, this content came to her after Breakthroughs to Success this week. And it was very liberating for me to sit in a coaching call with this young woman and her just filleting what happened in her life, because she had misread situations for what they were. Now she lives in a place called clarity. See, when you're in clarity, there's no separation between you and the outcome. But when you're in doubt, you'll create and attract people to fulfill your feelings. You'll make stories up, and then the stories will come true to fulfill your disappointment. As you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape your feelings, now you can listen from a different level of understanding. You can actually hear the words to songs that you never heard before. When you let go of words of indecision, like guess, kinda, sorta, then you can hear others use it. I mean, I can set and fillet the American populace's language, and I can hear how noncommittal 9 out of 10 people are. I can overhear it in a bank. I can overhear it in a restaurant. I can ask a waiter or a waitress. I can watch how they check out. I can see who's attentive. I can ask a prospecting question, have you ever considered owning your own business? And the waitress says, I'm going to nursing school. Well, first of all, I didn't ask her if she's going to school. I asked her a yes-no question. I ask that on purpose. It's a trial closed question. Have you ever considered owning your own business? I guess so. You guess so, or you have. When you learn NLP practices and techniques where you can mirror words out of a sentence, put them in your sentence, into with the question, now you can move the conversation along. If you have challenges checking out, and I ask you a question at my event this Saturday, you would use my name, take a word out of my question, package it in your statement, and you'll be present. So if I ask you, what are you receiving from the content today? You'd say, Jeff, what I'm receiving is. See, when you're able to use those reflexes, you're in communication, not checked out. But when you're checked out, you're thinking, processing, analyzing. You're using the neocortex of your analytical egoic mind based on past events because you don't trust your feelings. As you begin to trust your feelings, you have a whole different level of awareness. Now you can see what you missed before. Now you're able to understand why people do what they do. You won't second guess yourself. You won't even first guess yourself because you will trust yourself. As you begin to trust, there's no separation between you and results. When you ask someone a question, you have to be skilled enough not to keep talking. At my Breakthroughs to Success event, I was breaking this down for many of my teammates. They would ask one question, two questions, three questions, four questions. I'd go one question at a time. And there would be people that would be cross-talking. While someone would ask a question, someone on the other side of the room would ask another question, which is very common. It's a conditioned behavior. It's not normal. It's conditional. That means that many people don't listen. If you want to be an exceptional prospector, closer, a woman of influence and affluence, it's your responsibility to receive the answer from the question you ask. But if you're checked out, worried, in control, afraid you're going to make a mistake, overwhelmed, don't know what to be, who to do, what to say, if you live in this type of anxiety, what you'll end up is transmuting your feelings from doubt, fear, and anxiety. As you begin to let go of the anxiety based on events that shaped your feelings, you have a different level of awareness. You hear differently. You sense differently. Now you can tap into your sixth sense. That would be extra sensory perception. That would be a level of enlightenment above intuition. Intuition is when you know. And then extrasensory perception is a whole different level of knowing. That's when you can see the past and see the future, and you trust yourself to know it's a fact. You don't doubt yourself. That's when you're able to be able to cut a deck of cards and frequently be able to predict the card you're going to cut and have it be right. That's when you're so innate you know something's about to happen, you don't doubt what you know. That's when you dream and you're able to interpret your dream and know the meaning of it. And that's when you're able to also, when you do know rather than you don't know. A large percent of the population, when asked a question, get so overwhelmed about past events that their answer is, I don't know. That's because from 0 to 7, 7 to 18, we repress a lot of our emotions, a lot of the events, and a lot of the feelings that we have. We don't want to feel the pain. We don't want to understand why we do what we do. We want to stay in a place called familiar, in an overwhelmed, emotionally addicted state, anxiety, fear, and doubt. And from that transmutation of energy will attract a reality, people in situations frequently, to fulfill those feelings of low self-esteem. When you begin to let go of the cause that creates the effect, have a better understanding of awareness why you do what you do, your posture changes. Now, your posture and body language not only means you stand differently, but you project differently. In posture, it means you start to feel comfortable with self. You're transmuting from self-esteem. It's a level of comfortability. You're comfortable in who you are and what you're becoming. You're not concerned with the results that haven't happened. You're more focused on what's happening now. You don't focus on how many times you failed from the past. You focus on learning skills in the present. When you're able to be in that state, that emotionally energetic state, you're coming from awareness, love, joy, bliss, prosperity, and reciprocity. And then the tone of your voice is more relaxed and it has more resonance. It has more power. And when you start to take the edge off, that edgy edge, that grind that you have in your teeth, as you start to resolve your unresolved anger, it will make you more approachable. And when you encounter people who are hostile, angry, and their body language transmutes it, you want to be able to avoid conflict with them, because that's the type of person who lives in conflict consciousness. Even though it sounds contradictory, they thrive on conflict. You want to thrive on being in peace and in power. You want to be able to flourish in your business rather than struggle. If you've been a noble struggler and struggle is all you know, well, success will contradict your struggle. Strugglers talk like strugglers. It's very easy to text someone who's struggled all their life. It's very easy to pick up on someone who's a hardaholic because their communication style is filled with words of difficulty. Oh, my God. They convey a lot of sounds. Oh, my God, I can't believe this. These are the type of people who live in difficulty. They breed difficulty. They talk difficulty. They want to be difficult. Now, I'm not looking for these kinds of people. When I'm recruiting and I'm prospecting for prosperity partners, I'm not looking for difficult partners. I'm not looking for the person who has the highest degree of difficulty. I'm looking for someone I can get along with, someone I can collaborate with, someone I can create results with, someone I can be friends with, someone I can be spiritual with, someone I can relate to. I'm not looking for people who want to be in conflict, want to be right, want to make me wrong, put me in a position I have to validate, justify, and explain myself. When someone says, why are all your cars red? I just walk away from this conversation. It's classic. It's comical. Instead of saying, these are great cars, why are all your cars red? It's your responsibility to understand when someone's putting you in a position to validate, justify, and explain yourself. That is the type of person that you want to be able to neutralize effectively by asking them a question and disengage from the conversation as quickly as possible, if possible. Because you're not in life to be made wrong. You're in life to create. You're in life to create results, spread joy. Live a good life. You're not here to have to validate, justify, and explain yourself. You're not here to be in conflict. You want to be able to neutralize conflict as quickly as possible. But most importantly, in reading body language and reading people, you want to be able to see these type of personalities. These type of people are usually passive and aggressive or aggressive. These type of people want to make you wrong. These type of people tend to want to control the outcome. These type of people are usually difficult. They test you. These are the kind of people who want you to prove to them that you're worthy. These are the type of people who don't trust, and they put you in a position to not trust you or trust themselves. And when you start to understand these people, you can walk away from these people without being worried or concerned. Now, if you have these relatives, you're going to encounter some of them at the holidays. You want to practice being in power. You want to practice being in peace. Don't let anyone intimidate you. let go of your anxieties about people who are up there when you're just right down in here. And you want to also take people with titles off the mantle and realize that a large percent of society that you think are better than you and more wealthy than you, oftentimes they have more debt than you. And you don't want to give people power who don't merit it or don't deserve it. And you want to hear what's meant, not what's said. Now, what does that actually mean? It means that in being and staying attentive, because that's what attention is. It's a be state. It means you're attentive. It means you're able to listen. You can hear what's meant, not said. You can also hear what's said and understand what's meant. And you can also read people's lips. You can read their body language. You can intuitively know what they mean by what they say. Yeah, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look this over and I'm going to get back with you. Yeah, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hire you just as soon as I get my money together. Now, you have to understand what all that meant. In that story, it's your responsibility to understand who's committed and who's not. It's your responsibility to understand the way someone pauses and uses inflection. It's your responsibility to have the skills to hear what's meant, not said. It's your responsibility to understand who really means that they're going to get back with you and who's telling you what they think you want to hear. Now, I encounter this frequently. I have been a sales professional for 35-plus years. So it's auto-suggestion for me when someone says, yeah, what I'm going to do is I'm not done with you yet, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to get back with you and I'm going to hire you next whenever. So what many people don't understand is that I do understand. And I understand what's meant, and I also understand what's said. I can tell very quickly who's telling themselves what they think they want to hear. They're also telling me what they think I want to hear. When someone says to me, I'm sure you can appreciate, I have to run it by my husband. In reality, I appreciate someone who can make a decision. So they're assuming that I'm just going to agree with them. I'm not going to disagree with them, but I understand what that means. I also understand that some people do require to speak with a significant other. I do understand that they require to get approval from someone else or acknowledgement, but I also ask a question to test the situation. Can you close your husband? Can you close your significant other? Are you going to be able to ask for a loan from your bank? And what is your credit score? I mean, these are situations you learn to ask these questions. You have to let go of your anxiety about offending people. You're only going to offend people who are offendable. And if you're relaxed and you have posture in the stance that you take, you will seldom, if ever, offend someone. You will offend people because you have anxiety about offending them, and you'll fumble around, you'll trip over your own words, you'll say something inflammatory, you'll say something that will offend them, and then you get to be right. And see, this always happens to you. When you let go of the control that keeps you in control of being out of control, you'll realize there is no control. You'll focus more on being effective than you are being great. So being great is great, but you want to be effective and be paid. I'd much rather be paid than I would be great. And if you're effective, you're learning skills. The skills you must learn start with being in your body, being in an emotional body where you're not overwhelmed. You're in a state called conscious awareness. You can see 240 to 360 degrees around you. I do an exercise in some of my events where I have a PowerPoint that is a picture of money. Now, the picture that is of that money was once my money. I took it to a photo shoot, had a photo taken of it, and I've used that background many, many times. And I've asked audiences of mine, and I let them know that was once my money. I took it to a photo shoot. How much is there? Many people go, I don't know. Well, of course you don't know because you're not evaluating the situation. So I'll give people more hints, and I'll say, surmise the amount is there. I took the amount in a briefcase. Now, you should be able to picture the outcome before it happens. With emotional clarity, you can go beyond guessing. You can surmise what was there, and then you can state from what you feel what is there. Now, I can read the audience and who's checking out. They're already putting themselves in a position to make a mistake. And this is why many people won't even speak up, because they're afraid they'll be wrong. Well, it has nothing to do with being wrong. I'm asking a simple question. How much is there? 2,000. 1,000. Well, I said I took it in a briefcase. So if I took it in a briefcase, I mean, you'd have to be able to picture the briefcase, especially if I say it was a gunmetal gray Halliburton briefcase. Now, back in the day, that was about a $1,500 briefcase. That would be about a $3,000 briefcase today. So that would be a fistful of hundreds. The picture is all hundreds. So you want to be able to have a picture of the band. Those are purple bands. Those are $1,000 bands. Now, once again, this is reading the situation. This is body language, reading the situation, evaluating it, surmising it, trusting your feelings, and be able to state the obvious. Now, when you let go of your control, you go beyond guessing and you live in a no state. And then you will find that frequently you are right, and if you're not, you're not wrong. It means that you surmised it, you estimated it. When you let go of being critical and let go of being right, you'll feel so much better about the results that you create. And then you won't personalize situation as frequently. Now, when you get really good at reading people, you can see how critical people are of themselves. You can see it in their eye irises. You can see it in the smirks in their face. You can see their downtrodden corners of their mouth. You can see how low their energy is. You can hear vibrationally where they're coming from. They have no tone in their voice. You can tell that they've been beaten down. It's not their fault, but it's a fact. So they are sleepwalking through life, tiptoeing quietly through life with a very low energy. Now, they may be good human beings and good people, but because someone's good does not mean they qualify for your product. You also have to get beyond this, everybody needs it. No, they don't. It's not that your products aren't great or the products and services you're marketing don't have value, but a lot of people don't see the value or seek the value because they're comfortable being miserable. And you have to let go of your anxiety about trying to drag people to your business or trying to get people to see it. How do I get someone to this position in my company? Well, first of all, you're not a getter. You're not a G-E-T-T-E-R. You're a soul having a human experience, and you're becoming consciously aware. Your objective is to be able to attract, mentor, or lead people who are leadable, mentorable, or seeking what you have. So you want to start with the most common denominator, a qualified buyer. What many people do is they'll stand and talk to a non-qualified buyer, trying to convey the value by talking rather than asking the client if they even are seeking the value. So someone sent me a message today, how much is your coaching? So here's the body language on that. More than you're willing to part with. That's the answer. Because when someone leads with that kind of question, they're not a qualified buyer. They're cost conscious. When someone's cost conscious, they're not looking for the value. When someone's looking for cost, they're not looking for value. So it doesn't matter what the cost is because the value is not great enough. So when someone will say to me, how much is your coaching? If the value is great enough, does the cost matter? That's a reflex. So then I'm going to watch the body language of that person. Plus, I already know the body language of that person because of the way they telegraph the question. When someone leads with cost, they're not looking at the value. I mean, this is a 99.9%. This is 99.99% that this person will not be a qualified buyer because they're leading with cost. When people lead with cost, they always have an excuse about money. Always, A-L-W-A-Y-S. This is a clue. This is a tell. When you understand this, that if you're listening to this call and you haven't mastered selling, it's imperative that you do this. Instead of, you have to get beyond some of the preconceived notions you've been taught in some of the businesses you've been in and understand that sales is the highest paid profession in the world. You want to be able to effectively close transactions, brand yourself, create a presence. It requires asking skills, selling skills, branding skills. Someone today told me they couldn't find any leads, and I explained to them how to Google them, and within seconds, I was able to refer this person 10 leads. Now, once again, this takes skills, this takes practice, repetition, but most importantly, know-how and knowing. I mean, you have to be able to be innovative and creative. I don't have any leads. Well, actually, it's not true. What you don't have is innovation. When you have innovation, leads become obvious. And just like today, I was able to create leads and close transactions. I mean, I created a lead out of nothing and closed a transaction from it. You could do it too, but you'd have to practice the repetition and experience it. Also, in reading people, read people who spend most of their life being busy. You can ask them a question, you can tell how busy they are, but you can also tell they're not productive because they talk about being educated, they talk about activity, but they don't talk about actions, they don't talk about results. They talk about what they did, not who they are. And these are the type of people who they're good in an organization, but they seldom ever become great because they spend so much time getting educated. I recently asked someone at one of my workshops what they were receiving, and she started reading her notes. I didn't ask her to read her notes. I asked her what she was receiving. She also informed me that when she went home, she was going to study her notes. That's what the educational system taught her. This is easy to read when people talk like this. That means that person is very analytical. That means that that person is also going to tend to be and stay overwhelmed. They're going to spend more time reading than they are producing. And if you own a business, you're looking for a producer, someone who can GID, get it done. You're looking for someone who can LW, lay it wood. You're looking for someone who can put the NIC, nails in the coffin. You're looking for someone who can JFD, just frickin' do it. You're looking for that kind of person. You're looking for someone who has a committed plan to succeed, and they follow through their plan. You're looking for someone who has a money mindset. You're looking for people who have a millionaire mindset. There's a couple of my clients who say this. They say, I'm going to be a millionaire. I am a millionaire. I'm going to be a millionaire. And they can say it with reckless abandon, and they're not worried about what other people are thinking about them. They're not worried, oh, my God, I might upset my family. Oh, see, you can also pick up on people's worry by watching them, the way they communicate. I'm always worried. I worry all the time. I mean, that's obvious, the way they communicate. Their body language, that means they're going to be closed and contained. They're going to drop their right shoulder and raise their left shoulder if they're right-handed. They're going to speak in a low energy. They're going to have a short breath syndrome. They're going to lack tone in their voice. This is easy to pick up on. This person's in your team, they're going to have challenges building a business until they let go of the control that keeps them overwhelmed, because they're going to transmute their feelings from a low vibrational energy. They're going to worry. They worry all the time. They're going to worry about offending people, making mistakes, getting in trouble, saying the wrong thing, saying the right thing. They're going to worry about how they're going to keep success that they don't even have. They're going to worry about how they control their worry. They're going to worry all the time. See, these are the type of people you're able to read easily and effortlessly. You're able to let them go quickly, and you don't feel rejected and abandoned when someone doesn't buy from you. When you're no longer the mind-body connection, the events that shape your feelings, now you can trust your feelings. Be very attentive when you ask someone a question. They cross their legs. They look away. They drop their eye iris, goes up and out. The sound comes out of their mouth. They start telling you a story completely unrelated to the question you ask. When this happens, it's going to be your responsibility to use their name, interrupt them diplomatically. Susan, the question I ask you is how committed you are to changing the quality of your health. You're also going to encounter people who forget the question you asked them. So it's going to be your responsibility to point that out to them without feeling like you're going to get in trouble. John, I appreciate what you're telling me. Do you remember the question I asked? I'd love to do this. And I would love to watch people check out and do this. Once again, you can do this. You can get good at this. This is a communication skill. This means in your conscious awareness, you're attentive. You're watching what people do along with what they say. You're able to watch their eye iris movement. You watch their body language. You watch how closed and contained they are. You can also tell how open they are. You listen for the tone of people's voice. You can hear someone who's in a short breath syndrome, someone who doesn't want to get in trouble. They talk with a very low voice. They have a very, very low demeanor, meaning that they have been demeaned, they've been violated, they've been picked on, and you can tell it in the way they project, the way they come across. Now, anyone can change, and you also want to be aware of the few, the law of the few who are willing to change. These type of people typically speak differently. They speak in a shorter sentence structure. They focus on results and commitment. They focus on production. They don't focus on being a victim. They focus on being a victor. This kind of person tends to attract people a higher level of energy than most of society. This person does not require mentoring. This person doesn't require direction. This person knows what to do, and these people typically will create results and create a lot of money for you and them. These are the type of people that you pray to find. They don't tend to cross their legs, check out, move their eye irises. They seldom laugh when nothing's funny. They tend to be more serious, more serene. They tend to be more contained in themselves. They don't require outside exterior situations to create their own peace and happiness. These are the kind of people you're seeking to attract. you read their body language. They tend to be more open. They tend to be very serious, but not so serious that they can't have fun. But they're not the type of person who will laugh when nothing's funny. They're in their body, they're here, and they're now. They're focused on results and production. They also can relax without guilt. This is a key component when you're recruiting people. These people tend to be more well-rounded. Even though they may appear to be single-focused, they tend to be more well-rounded emotionally, and their attractor factor is much higher. They can attract personalities from all four and all 16 personalities. They tend to not tell stories. Their sentence structure is short. They're very clear and contained in the way they communicate. They tend to have a good writing style. They can write a very short paragraph rather than the long drunkologue. You want to be able to trust what you feel and trust what you know. When you come from this state of power, you're living in awareness. When you become an expert at reading people, it's a huge advantage for you because it shortens the distance between you and the result. It gives you great insight and context on who has a higher probability of succeeding. When you're able to trust your feelings and trust yourself, you're able to read people effectively without judging them. And if you're skilled at reading people, the word judgment isn't going to show up because you're good at it. Now, there was a book written about the woman who picked the O.J. Simpson case. Her name was Joanne Dimitrilakis. She wrote a book called Reading People, a very, very powerful book. It's an outstanding book that allows you to understand how someone would go about picking a jury. It's a great book, and it breaks down why you do this. I have it in my hand. It's called Reading People, How to Understand People and Predict Their Behavior Any Place, Anytime, Joellen Demetrius and Mark Mazzarella. They were both instrumental with Johnny Cochran, Robert Shapiro, and Robert Kardashian in assisting that team in reading the jury that would be sympathetic to the situation at hand. Now, the more you understand this, how important jury picking, how important it is that you have people in your favor. When you're doing an event, you place people in certain positions in an event. You have people raising their hands. When you raise their hands, you have people saying yes when you ask a question. So when you have that kind of team operating for you, it changes the energy of a room. And that's also how you learn to read people. When you have someone come into one of your events, they come to a launch party, or they come to an event, they cross their arms and they're scowling. They usually will have pens in their pocket. It means they're usually very left-brained and analytical. It means they're unemotional. They tend to find flaws and typically are going to find something wrong with the situation while pointing it out to me. I had someone who started correcting me on how I should do my affirmation cards today and also questioned me and my spirituality. I completely acknowledged them for theirs, but they proceeded to want to make me wrong for what I was and didn't hear what I was saying as I was diplomatically disengaging with the conversation. They were continuing to tell me how what I was doing was not right and blah, 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 blah. And I continued to acknowledge them, commend them for their choice, and I diplomatically got out of the conversation. And instead of me validating, justifying, explaining, me getting pissed off, angry, starting to talk to myself about what a kind of person they were, I diplomatically got out of the conversation, picked up my telephone, and called another phone number. That's what you want to learn to do. That was someone who unequivocally had to be right, wanted to make me wrong, felt justified, doesn't understand how passive-aggressive they are, even though they have one of my books, The Anger Factor. When you're no longer the mind-body connection, the events that shape your feelings, you can easily and effortlessly let go. You also want to pick on people who are sensitive and defensive. These type of people definitely have challenges succeeding in a leveraged business. These are the kind of people who will put a lot of energy into being right. These are the type of people who are more concerned with being right than they are succeeding. They're very uncoachable. They tend to interrupt in mid-sentence, and they start validating, justifying, explaining themselves, oftentimes making you wrong. In this kind of situation, you want to read this quickly and get out of there. Get out of the conversation. Get out of the room. Now, when you go for your holiday this year, watch the people that are like this. They're sensitive and defensive. They want to be right. They want to prove you wrong. They want an argument. They're conflict conscious. Some of you are going, oh, my God, that's my relatives. That's correct. It's not only your relatives. It shows up in life in many places. You want to become skilled at neutralizing conflict, letting go quickly, not having to be in the ring with someone, not proving someone wrong, turning the other cheek, walking away, picking your battles, and only being in conflict if you absolutely have to. You want to spend less time defending yourself, being defensive, being sensitive. You want to be able to let go of people easily and effortlessly, and you do this by effectively reading people, understanding them, knowing why they do what they do. This is why coming back to Breakthroughs to Success is a very valuable experience if you've attended once and rehired me. So I let people come back occasionally who've rehired me at least once. It gives you great context and insight to understand this, cause and effect, and why people do what they do. As you have a better understanding of the events that shape feelings, then you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shaped your feelings. Then you are you, and you are free. Now, I'm going to cover some of this content in depth this Saturday at the event in Rye, New York. I'm going to break down addiction tolerance, how we become emotionally addicted to a set of feelings, how we end up living out of that identity until someone like me comes along and can assist you to have a better understanding of why you do what you do. As you begin to understand that, then you can facilitate change in your teams, your cultures, your family, your home life. You also want to let go, and this is also a body language, let go of people who are addicted strugglers. It's not your responsibility to save and rescue them, enable them, over-obligate yourself to them. In reading people's body language, you want to understand this key term. Meet people where they are. Let go of your own codependence about rescuing, saving, and fixing people. You're going to exhaust yourself, waste your energy, expend a lot of your quality time because you're addicted to being disappointed. As you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape your codependence. Codependence tends to mean enable. It means over-obligating yourself, creating an identity through someone else so you can feel better about yourself. The challenge with that is chronic and addicted over-obligators tend to over-serve, over-give, do too much for others, and then wonder and be disappointed why they don't get recognized. Well, the reason being is you get recognized for production. Being a good person is a great quality, but it doesn't give you recognition. Yeah, you're a great person. That's cool, dude. I'm glad you're a great person. It's awesome to meet you. But what have you done for yourself lately? I mean, you have to get out of being educated and get inspired. A large percent of the population in free enterprise, network marketing, direct sales, spends most of their time in education and very little time in production. You don't get paid for getting educated. You get paid for producing results. If being educated would get you paid, then you'd be a millionaire with a doctorate degree. And I have found that most doctorate degrees, many people seldom make more than $250,000 a year unless they're in some specialized field, own their own business. But PhDs do not guarantee prosperity. PhD means you're brilliant, you're talented, you wrote a dissertation, you have multiple degrees, more degrees than the thermometer. But if it comes to inspiration, I would rather be inspired than I would educated. Inspiration is long-lasting emotional energy that keeps you in the game long enough to break through. Also, once you break through, when you be and stay inspired, then you're going to be and stay organized. If you're overwhelmed, you can't be organized. And if you can't be organized, you're going to have challenges mastering the moving parts of success. Because there's a speed that you have to learn to travel when it comes to being and staying successful. It's going to be your responsibility, the ability to respond, to stay here and now and stay present. It's going to be your responsibility, the ability to have reflexes and understand why people do what they do. It's going to be your responsibility when you're communicating with people to understand when you receive an objection and it's not a rejection. When people object, it means they can't decide. They're not in a position to decide. As you begin to let go of your anxiety about being rejected, you'll have a better understanding of what an objection means. Yeah, what I'm going to do is put it off till after the first of the year, and then I'll get back with you. Is that what that really means? So I'd really like to do this, but I don't have the money. I mean, this is a very common term you're going to hear over and over. Many people delay their commitment, they delay their decision because they're indecisive. And being decisive would contradict their indecisiveness. This is why so many people say kinda, sorta, guess, if I had to say. This is why so many people communicate like that, because they're indecisive, can't decide. They're telegraphing their feelings. Read this as you begin to understand people's body language. When you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shaped your anxiety, then you can become you and you can become free. I am free, I am me, I am me, I am free. As you begin to live in that energy, you're no longer anchored in the past. You're living in the present. You'll start to release water weight. You'll start to let go of control. You won't stuff your feelings and repress your feelings as frequently. You can actually address your drinking situations and your sugar addictions and your compulsive debting and other situations that keep you overwhelmed and disappointed. As you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape your feelings, you will not create and attract diseases to chronically be sick, ill, overwhelmed, stopped up, have a sinus infection. As you understand why you do what you do, you can easily and effortlessly let go. But when you say, yeah, but that's easy for you to say, that's what many people, yeah, but you don't understand my situation. Yeah, 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 but, yeah, but. Read people that say that. People who say that are justifiers they're justifiers and explainers. Yeah, but you don't understand my situation. And I've heard, all I have to do is worry about succeeding. Why would you want to worry about succeeding? Why wouldn't you succeed? It's a common term that people use. That's a tell. That means that they're worried all the time. So they actually are edifying, worrying, not even understanding that worry is not conducive to having any energy that will lead to success. Worry is anxiety energy. Worry is anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, overwhelmed feelings, grief, and apathy. Typically, worry is connected to being overwhelmed, and many people worry about being rejected. So those are the two emotions that show up in worry. And if you worry all the time, let go of it. There's no benefit. Although there is a payoff, the payoff is you get to avoid succeeding. Even that may not sound like a liberating experience, that's how most people perpetuate their feelings to justify their inactions. Perpetuate their feelings to justify their inactions. You may write that down and use it as long as you give me credit for writing it myself. That's what a lot of people do. They overwhelm themselves, they procrastinate, and they avoid to justify not failing. However, they fail by not engaging, and so they're unengageable, unapproachable. And then another day goes by, a week goes by, a month goes by, a year goes by, 2 years go by, and all of a sudden, 2015 isn't 2017, and 2017 isn't 2018. What many people do is just like sand in your hand, it slips right through it. That's what, like sand in your fist, it ends up, no matter what you're doing, no matter how hard you hold it, the grains start to fall out of the bottom, and eventually it all falls out. That's what many people do. The bottom falls out of their emotional state. You want to be able to pick up on this. You want to be able to pick up on people who are a wreck, who are addicts, who are passive-aggressive, who are perpetrators, violators, and want to put you in a position you have to explain yourself. You want to be able to read that situation, not get intoxicated by them. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'm the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. Next Tuesday, that would be next Tuesday, December 19th, I will have practicing attorney Pam Barnum on my call. That'll be a fabulous call. That will be the last call before the Christmas holiday. I want to thank you for being on tonight's call. This call is officially recorded. We'll be available for playback at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Have a great evening, everyone, and look forward to connecting with you this Saturday in Rye, New York. Good night.